Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you there? Technical difficulties. Why would it be any different? It's the new year. Today we have a great show for you. As soon as I get Jay on the horn here, we'll discuss our holidays. We'll discuss anything you want to talk about. If you got anything you want to add, then you can go ahead. Jay, is that you? Are you there?
I'm here, man. What's going on? Sorry. Second week in a row having some audio difficulties on my end.
That's okay. It's you know how it is, man. It's part of doing or attempting to do a live podcast. I was just letting the people know that today we'll be discussing our holidays. We're supposed to do a second part of our bonus from when you were doing your long ass travel on the train, but you were in bumfuck and probably didn't have any service.
No service, to my knowledge. Definitely available.
Yeah. So, well, I think everyone or all of our listeners, all four of them, be interested in knowing what's going on there. You have to excuse me today. I'm a little under the weather. I got a lot of things for Christmas, including the flu. Not a full blown flu, but I don't know. Just something's going around over here. I don't know about where you're at, but if you're on the East Coast, there's some weird type 1, type 2, type 3 deal going around, and it put me on my ass for a few days. So, but I'm heavily medicated and have my alcohol and my Cowboys play today, so I couldn't be happier. So tell us about your holiday, though. How was your holiday? What did you receive that was non-life-threatening?
Well, I actually also got sick as well. I don't know if you know this, but I was out for probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 days with a stomach bug, and it was a bad stomach bug. It's the type where, you know, it's kind of like, have you ever seen Hall Pass, that movie Hall Pass? It was at that point. Where you would sneeze, and the amount of oatmeal that was coming out of my body was just terrible. I rode back from North Dakota on the train while being sick for 26 hours on the train. It was the worst experience ever, I must say. I'm not a big gift giver. I'm a big gift giver, not a big gift receiver. I enjoy giving the gifts, don't enjoy receiving. So I got a couple gift cards here and there, some enjoyable gift cards. My favorite gift card had to be my Ruth Chris gift card. Always a good look when I get a Ruth Chris gift card. You know, I do enjoy steaks. I don't know if you're aware, we talked about this on the last show, but, you know, after Christmas, I went to Las Vegas for New Year's.
I saw some pictures online.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't aware of
your travels. No, very interested to hear what's going on in Las Vegas. What type of douchebaggery or shenanigans you got into?
So we'll definitely have to get into that later on at some point in time in the show. Talk about what our New Year's was like, and I can discuss the Vegas trip and a couple other things going on there, man. How was your New Year's? Were you sick during New Year's? Did you get some good drinking in, or were you at bed at 9:30?
I was neither. It's kind of funny to say, but the New Year with you know, the Holy Spirit, so to speak. I've only done it twice in my life. It's fun. It's always fun and interesting. It's a different twist than going out and getting hammered or anything. But I never really made any plans to do anything. Most of the people that I would have gotten drunk with either had to work or were already passed out by then anyway. So it would have made for a very boring New Year's on my behalf. As you get older, your New Year's kind of slows down. I think my New Year's Eve would have consisted of Call of Duty on my Xbox One and the WWE Network, and that would have been what it would have been for me. But nonetheless, it was fun. We had a good time. But I think somewhere between travels to church and whatever happened on Friday is when I contracted, got sick. That's, it's a horrible way to start off a new year, but I'd rather get it out of my system now, so I'll be good to go. But my New Year's is fairly normal this year. There was no douchebaggery on my end, so I guess you have to make it up on your end.
Okay. I will. And I also, speaking of WWE, did you go to Raw at the Verizon Center, or did I see some pictures of that online?
Yes, I did. Little bit of douchebaggery there, though. That was Monday. This past Monday, the 26th or 27th, whatever it was, went up there. I got my tickets late, so I was kind of – the Verizon Center well because of your love of hockey, so you know the layout. And basically, I waited till literally like 2 weeks ago to even consider getting tickets and going. So I was sitting in the nosebleeds. But the thing is, during a WWE event – I would assume a basketball game is the same way. I've never been to a Wizards game there, but even though you're sitting up high, you still get kind of that good view. You just don't get that side view.
Yeah,
it's not a bad
view.
Yeah. So it wasn't too bad of a view. We had a good time. I went up a little bit earlier. It's been a while since I've been, partake the city. I was that guy wearing that Dallas Cowboys coat, walking around the city, getting cursed out. It happened a few times. I expected it, though. It was very funny. Some old guy came running up to me. I don't know if he was homeless or not, but he had a bag in his hand. Looked like he hasn't showered maybe in a couple days, Not knocking him, but I'm saying that was his makeup at that time. Comes running up to me screaming about how the Redskins are going to destroy the Cowboys next year. And I'm thinking, how? And then I ignored him. I kept walking, and he kind of started, he did one of those moves, where he's kind of behind you and he wants to keep talking trash, keep walking. But he stopped walking because he ran out of things to say. By the time he said the third thing, which was like the Cowboys suck and you know it, that was it. It was crazy. It's crazy to walk in the city and get that. I got that a few times.
I miss it, though, because, I'm a diehard DC sports fan. I do, however, my first love was always basketball, and I've always been a Lakers fan, but I try to cheer for the team in which where I live. So, I'm a diehard Redskins, diehard Capitals fan, Nationals, and I really try to root for those teams. So something I miss, and something I miss from living back on that side. But that's cool, man. That's a good look. We'll have to, I don't know WWE that well, so you have to educate me as time goes on. We'll have to get more into it as we move through a couple things.
You'll laugh at me because as diehard as I am about it, and I like a lot of sports. I'm trying to get into hockey. I've watched the Caps over the past 4, 5, 6 years, and I like watching them. I heard it's better live. I haven't seen it live.
Definitely better live.
But I'm sure it is. But and I love that. Of course, I love my football. I love my Dallas Cowboys. I love basketball. Basketball and baseball, I both love them. I'm a Yankees fan. I support the Wizards, but it's just those seasons are so long. You kind of it becomes tunnel vision watching the games at some point, and then you just watch the holiday classics and stuff like that. But the thing is that it with WWE, it has a very passionate fan base. And we all know it's scripted. Everybody wants to use the term fake, but it's scripted. It's sports entertainment. It's there to entertain you through wrestling storylines. But the group that I associate myself with, and they're hardcore passionate. It's insane. You think I'm bad? You go up there, your head's gonna hurt because these guys, I love them to death, are very passionate. They remind me of a New York-based crowd. But long story short, I met up with some buddies at one of the hotels up there, and they were getting autographs and meeting some of the guys. So I went up there. I was a couple blocks away. I got off the metro, and I walked on over to the hotel. And you would have, I mean, it wasn't a big crowd of people as far as, like, the people waiting to get autographs and stuff. But, I mean, it was, you could tell they were the hardcores. Like, they probably were there since 6 in the morning. And a lot of guys like Edge and Christian, Jerry the King Lawler, and Cesaro, for people who are into the WWE. Those guys came out, did autographs, and people met them, and they were good. And that was good. And then we eventually got kicked out of the hotel. I wasn't there that long. I was there long enough to meet people and see what was going on. And the security woman, it took her a little while because those guys were there probably for a while, but I think TMZ showed up, which boggled my mind because this guy comes running up, right? He's got this. I mean, my wife has a lot of cameras. She does photography and stuff.
Oh, you dragged your wife down there too?
Huh?
You dragged the wife down there too?
No. She was sick. She would have went, but she was sick. She stayed home, which is another funny story because she's sick. Now I'm sick. But long story short, this guy shows up in this, like, $1,200 camera, and he's taking photos. And I look over, and I said, this guy must work for TMZ because he was just out there asking questions and snapping photos. I don't know if he was TMZ or not, but he looked very TMZ-ish. And by the time that guy showed up, the security kicked everybody out. And so we were all outside, and people were getting their autographs and stuff out there in the cold. But the fun part was when we went back to Verizon, and you know how the Green Turtle is with Verizon Center, and don't ever go there during a wrestling event if you're not a wrestling fan. I'm sure it's like this with the Caps games too, but the people out with the douchebaggery started. Just people were screaming and yelling, screaming out catchphrases, and it got real rowdy in there on a different level than what you would be used to with football or hockey or something. And I thought we were going to get thrown out. So I left before I got thrown out. So I've already gotten thrown out once today, and I just left. I don't think anybody got arrested or thrown out, although I did see like 5 cop cars out front. If they did get arrested and I didn't catch it, then I'm sorry. And I couldn't have bailed you out anyway. But that was basically it. I mean, it's a lot of douchebaggery with those events. But in a good way. So that's basically all I had. It wasn't. I'm a little bit calmer in my older age, so I don't get up in arms about it anymore. But it's always a fun experience getting to see Brock Lesnar live and some of the other guys because it all transitions into UFC for me too. I've been to a couple UFC events live, so UFC, WWE, whatever. Seeing people get their asses whooped. You know, just like the Redskins got their asses whooped. It's a good thing.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. yeah, that sounds like a good time, man. I got back from, as we all well documented on the last show, I went to North Dakota for Christmas, hung out with the nephews and nieces, had a good time, played a lot of board games, played a lot of kiddie games, and did a couple of different things as well. Overall, had a fantastic time. As I look, I got back that Saturday. Like I said, I was sick. I came back on Saturday. I got on the train on Saturday. Got back to Seattle on Sunday. Obviously, I was sick. You ever travel when you're sick and it's just not a good time. You know, you're not in the best mood. You don't really want to talk to anybody. You're just kind of in a shitty mood.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm on the train, and, you know, it's getting kind of packed, and this girl's sitting next to me, and I'm fucking eating saltines and drinking ginger ale and popping Pepto-Bismol and eating ibuprofen. That's pretty much my diet was for the 24 hours I was on that train. I'm just trying to, you know, hold my stomach together while I'm on this train ride and chill back and relax. I don't know, about, it must have been, 2 o'clock in the morning, we made a stop in Spokane, Washington. And the girl sitting next to me asked the conductor, she goes, hey, so it's looking kind of empty. Do you mind if I switch seats? He goes, well, it's actually going to get full again. it'd be good if you could just stay in your seat for me, please. I'll let you know if you can move. Well, he walks out the fucking car. What do you think the girl does? She fucking gets out of her seat.
Okay.
So obviously, the guy just told her, don't move. And she moved anyways. I was like, no big deal. He probably won't say anything, right? I was fucking wrong, dude. I mean, the biggest battle let out when he came back into that fucking car. He goes, I told you to not fucking move. You moved anyways. I guess you don't want to listen. That's really rude of you. And the girl just starts crying and runs to the bathroom. I mean, she is bawling out. She's pregnant. It's a terrible scene. It's like, at this point, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're screaming. She's crying. She runs to the bathroom. She's fucking pissed. And I'm sick, and I don't give a fuck. I just want to get fucking back to my house. Anyway, I get back on Sunday. I pack my shit up, and Monday morning I leave for Vegas. So now, you know, the big city's in town. The big city's in Vegas. That's my city. I go to Vegas all the time, as you know. But I'm sick as a dog. So I fall asleep at noon, and I wake up the next day at 8. So I basically wasted my whole Monday. Wasted the whole Monday. I was asleep the whole goddamn day. But Tuesday was a good day. Tuesday was a good day. We went out. We did some eating. I went and saw Cirque du Soleil. Have you ever seen Cirque du Soleil?
No, I have not. You have to educate me.
So it's basically like it's not quite like a circus, but it's, you know, a lot of acrobatics, a lot of jumping, a lot of tight roping, a lot of shit that you may see in circus, but kind of just interesting stuff. This one was it was a good show, man. You know, there's some crazy shit they were doing. If you haven't seen Cirque du Soleil, I recommend that you do go and see it. It does come through D.C. every once in a while. It's my second time seeing Cirque. I saw it once in the National Harbor. It's my second time here watching here. Had a good time. My friend who was with me, Kyle, was obliterated. I mean, he was fucking obliterated. He was
so what was he? What was he drinking on? What was his vice that night? What was he doing?
So before we got to the Cirque, we sat down at a bar, and we were at the bar, I don't know, maybe 2 to 4 hours. We were at this bar in Vegas for about 2 to 4 hours. He was drinking extra dirty martinis, which for those of you guys that drink martinis know, it's nothing but vodka with a splash of olive juice. So it's a high-octane alcohol. So he probably had 3 or 4 of those. And then we moved to a different bar, and then we started drinking vodka, ginger beer, and this blueberry drink. By the way, this
blueberry
fucking waitress,
drink.
It was like a blueberry and lime, ginger beer, and vodka.
You know, that doesn't sound too bad. It sounds a little feminine, but I think I'd like to try it.
Ginger beer is the most non-feminine drink in the world. Anything with ginger beer is not feminine, but very good.
It's just the title of it. The title of it sounds a little.
It was called like Blueberry Dream. It was called like Blueberry Dream. So I mean,
I like blueberries though.
It came in a mason jar.
What's going on with the girl?
So this girl who's the fucking bartender. I mean, I tried to stick my whole cup down her asshole and drink it right out of her asshole. She was the sexiest fucking girl I've seen all fucking day. I mean, she was skinny. She had a tattoo on her arm. And I'm into tattoos right now. I'm all in on tattoos.
Talked about tattoos. That's something else what we might have to segue into. But continue. She had a tattoo on her arm. Did she have a tramp stamp? She just had something on her arm.
No tramp stamp. I'm not into tramp stamps. I basically picked up the jar with my fourth arm. And just picked that thing right up and put it on the table. She had me so turned on. But that's going to be here. I have some more interesting stories around girls as we get later on into the evening. But we went to Cirque du Soleil, and then I hit up my boy who lives in Las Vegas, and I said, hey, man, you know, it's time to hit up the spot. Brian, have I told you where I like to go when I go to Vegas? Have I told you my main spot of attraction?
I'm sure it's a strip club or it's the – it's a strip club, I know. Just what's it?
You know me well. You know me well. Spearmint Rhino.
Huh.
If you have never been to Spearmint Rhino, sir, you haven't lived. You just
have I haven't
not
lived.
Lived.
I haven't lived. I definitely won't go now. Probably.
So the first time I had ever been to Spearmint Rhino was back in 2013. I went with my two of my boys, and we had never been to strip club before, but we hit up, you know, whatever, and we were like, where's the spot to go? Where is the spot to go when you want to hit a strip club? And they were telling me, you know, Spearmint Rhino. So we're all right. You call up the number, they come pick you up in a limo. Okay, that wherever you're at, the strip club's gonna come pick you up in a limo, you and your boys, and it's free entry. With the hope that you're gonna spend money once you get inside. Which you will definitely spend money once you get inside.
Well, that's like a strip club. You got to spend money in a strip club, but go ahead.
Yeah, but a lot of strip clubs charge to get in these days. A lot of
strip clubs charge
to get in.
Most of them do. Even before I got out of partaking and such, you spend $20 just to walk into place.
Yeah. So this place is free. And when I walked to this place, it was a Saturday night, you know, in 2013, a hot June day. There was 250 girls working. 250 girls were. I want you to understand that shit. That is five full decks of cards.
250. About how many guys were in this place? Approximately.
I mean, it couldn't have been
at that given time.
Maybe 100, 150. Maybe 100, 150.
So that's almost two girls to every guy.
That's some good ratio, right? That's some good ass ratio. The problem there is the beers are $13.
No, that's where they get you. They don't make you pay to get in there. They're gonna overcharge you in beer, and then the strippers, you have to buy a stripper a drink that they can't drink, and then you go get a lap dance, and then you drink the drink that you spent $13 on, and then you just give her more money.
I mean, it's true. I mean, and the lap dance is only $20. As you know, $20 is an outrageous amount of money for a lap dance. That's not outrageous. That's what I would say is your fair share. That's the current going price of a lap dance, in my opinion. I've been to some places where it's $40 for a lap dance, $60 for a lap dance, $100 for a lap dance. $20, I think, is a pretty good deal. And like I said, 250 girls working. This is Las Vegas. Spearmint Rhino is a chain. It's the Burger King of strip clubs. It's the McDonald's of strip clubs. There's a Spearmint Rhino in L.A. There's a Spearmint Rhino in London. There's a Spearmint Rhino in Australia. There's a Spearmint Rhino in Miami. There's Spearmint Rhinos across the entire world. And it's the strip club. If you know anything about strip club, it is the strip club of all strip clubs. Okay? So, like I said, 250 girls working that night, and they just do, you know, terrible things to you. They get you inside, and they want you to spend money. And, you know, I've dropped, you know, $200, $400, $500, $600 in a strip club before, just because I think it's fun. I would never go to a strip club by myself. I think that's a little bit depressing, in my opinion. I'll go with my boys. I'll pay for my boys' lap dances. I'll pay for, you know, whatever. That's a good time, you know. It's like going bowling. You're going to spend some money. You're going to have a good time. Don't expect to walk out more money than you walked in.
Yeah, but I've never been bowling. And I've been to both worlds, but I've never been bowling and spent $800. But I have been to the strip club and dropped, you know, $400 or $500. You know.
But this was a very interesting evening at the strip club for me, I'd have to say. I went to a strip club, and it was a Tuesday. It was a Monday, and I didn't know that the week of New Year's is actually a very slow week for the strip clubs in Las Vegas because, you know, they shut down the strip, and everybody's kind of partying, and nobody goes really to strip clubs, so it's a slow week for them. So it wasn't prime time. There might have been, I don't know, anywhere between 50 and 150 girls working that night. Not as much as I'm used to seeing when I go into that place. I've been there quite a few times. So, you know, and it wasn't prime. So, and we've had this conversation a few times. But I'm a picky man when it comes to women. And I'm definitely even more picky when it comes to a stripper. Because I feel like a stripper is supposed to be my fantasy of a woman. And I'm not going to pay for anything less. You know what I mean? Huh. Like, she's there to do a job. I'm here to, you know, take part in her services. But I'm going to be very picky in who I choose.
Well, I mean, I agree.
And thankfully, my type isn't, you know, I don't like big fake breasts. I actually don't like big breasts at all. I like normal size breasts. I like a girl.
You like
between,
those
I don't know,
anorexic women.
You know me very well. You do know me very well. If you see my ex. Say it again.
I mean, I'm just saying, I know you like those little skinny girls, and you're really big on the Asian population. I mean, really big. Like, I'm very surprised
we have to
you
talk
haven't
about
just
that.
Up and moved. Well, I'm surprised you haven't up and moved to like Japan or somewhere, and just settled down there yet. But I'm sure that's common.
I got
but yeah,
I got some, I got, I got some late breaking news on that, but we'll talk about that before the end of the show. But yeah, so at any rate,
okay.
You know, if for those of you guys that don't know and what Brian Talmadge is, my type would be like a Miley Cyrus. And a lot of people think Miley Cyrus is ugly, but I like somebody skinny, maybe a little bit thicker than Miley, a few more assets in a couple different locations, maybe like a Selena Gomez. You know what I like? I like Anne Hathaway. When Anne Hathaway got in the back of that bike on Batman as Catwoman, I mean, there are a couple things I wanted to lay on that keister. But that's about my type. You know, I like a skinnier woman. I find thicker women attractive, but I think, you know, something always comes to mind, and it's only you can prevent forest fires. And I think if my fat-ass thighs get thrown with a thick woman's thighs, our thighs get to rubbing, and next you know, the bed sheets are on fire, and I'm burning down the whole goddamn apartment. So I'm performing a public service by not setting the goddamn apartment on fire by getting a little bit skinnier woman. And, you know, I'm in decent shape, but I like you to throw my woman around. If she weighs, you know, 120, which 120 is not a lot, but I get a little tired at 120. You know, like you weigh about 120, I might be able to pick you up for about 5 minutes. You weigh about 95 pounds, I get 30, 45 minutes of picking you up, and I won't be too exhausted. So yeah, with that being said, we're in the strip club, and there was a lot of attractive women, you know, a lot of kind of big, thick women, you know, 5'11", 5'6", you know, black chicks and white chicks, and you know, there's a couple chicks in there, and they, you know, they're all right. You know, my problem with the strip club, and I don't know if you have the same opinion, is, you know, like, I know they're there for a job, but you know what I enjoy more, and this is going to sound sappier, this is going to sound like bullshit, but it's the truth. You know, I enjoy talking to strippers. Like, I enjoy the conversation. You know what I mean? Like, how, you know, what's going on? How'd you end up doing this? Do you enjoy this shit? Like, that's the type of shit. Like, why are you here? What brought you to this type of job? And I don't objectify women when they're like,
how many,
I don't like
how many answers,
I think it's,
how many answers of I have to go to medical school did you receive? Because I'll tell you right now, from my experience, that's all they tell you. Oh, I'm trying to go get myself through school, and I'm in medical school right now. And I have to do this, and oh, I got 10 mouths to feed. They give you a sob story. Either way, it's a sob story. They give you a sob story about how they're basically how they need to pay their medical bills, or they got a bunch of mouths at home they have to feed. And usually, a lot of that is bullshit anyway. So, I mean, that's just from my experience.
I agree. Let me share it now. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, in my opinion, I think a lot of people don't respect strippers because, you know, whatever, there's a stigmatism behind it. But let me turn out. If I can make anywhere between $500 to $1,000 a night dancing on a pole, my black ass would be doing that. Like, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, like, get your money. I have no problem with you getting your money and doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people say, you know, it's different shit there, but I enjoy talking to girls or whatever. But this time is very interesting. You know, I probably sat there for 2 hours, kind of, you know, throwing some tips out here and there. But, you know, I couldn't find anybody that I, like, truly, like, I wanted to, like, give some money to. But except there's this one chick who was across the way giving lap dances, and she was just sexy. I mean, she was a little skinny. She looked like she was white, short black hair. She had some good moves and, you know, whatever. So I finally pulled her to the side, and I grabbed her. And, you know, I was like, hey, I've been looking at you for, like, an hour. You know, you've been busy dancing or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. We ended up sitting there for about an hour and a half talking. No lap dance, no money exchange. We sat there for about an hour and a half talking.
I'm saying this from a brother to brother standpoint here. So don't take it the wrong way. But so you were like her, what do you call it? You were like her shoulder to lean on, I guess, maybe? What was she talking about that was that intriguing for that long?
I mean, she was sitting on my lap and, you know, whatever. We were talking and she was telling me her story.
If she's sitting on your lap, she's trying to get
money. She's trying to get what?
If she's sitting on your lap, she's trying to get money.
Well, for sure.
If she's having a conversation with you, then she's going to be sitting next to you in a chair and looking sophisticated if it's a realistic conversation. Now, if she's trying to see what she can get out of you, and you said there's no money exchange, but here's my question to you real quick, is how did her demeanor from the beginning of your conversation to that very end of your conversation, how did her demeanor change when she was no longer sitting on your lap or whatever the case was?
She never not sat on my lap. I ended up leaving because my friends wanted to leave. I would have stayed longer. We probably could have talked longer. So we were talking. She kind of told me her story. I told her my story, like, you know, what am I doing? I told her, she's like, I just broke up after 5 years. And I just broke up after 3 years. And she was telling me, you know, I can't. She was saying, you know, I was like, so how does it work? I was like, you know, you can't be with somebody who's jealous. I mean, you're clearly down here being a stripper. You know, you can't be with somebody who's going to be jealous. And, you know, she's saying, you know, I try not to, you know, you're trying to make friends down here at the strip club because that's just kind of what I do. She's like, I've been stripping for like 3 years. And, you know, I used to work minimum wage jobs. And, you know, what I made in 2 weeks minimum wage, I make in a day here. And she's like, this is why I do this is because, you know, I get to do what I want. And she's like, you know, but she's like, this shit's crazy. She's telling me about orgies she was in and how she hooked up with this girl and that girl. And then she was telling me some crazy shit. She was like, you know, some dudes coming here, and she was like, they lose themselves in the strip club. Now, I don't know about you, man. I would not lose, you know what I mean when I say lose myself, right? Like lose yourself in the strip club. You know what I mean when I say lose yourself?
Lose yourself. Well, with you, that could have like a double meaning, so. But
well,
I would
you know what I mean,
you're
like,
talking about spend all your money away in the strip club.
They rub one off. They let it go. You know what I mean?
That was the other one. I was going the PG route about it, but you want to X-rate it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, lose yourself in the strip club. I have never personally lost myself in the strip club. I don't know if you have.
I would. I think that's nasty as fuck. I don't understand. Like, I literally don't understand why somebody would do that. But she says it happens all the time. She says there's some nasty dudes that come in here. They are going there, and then they sit down, and they wear the thinnest pants ever, and then you start dancing on them, and then all of a sudden you just feel the shit hit your leg. And I'm like, that's mad disrespectful because, like, she's here to do a job. I mean, that's like I go and eat a good-ass steak, and I just lose myself at the table. And I'm like, oh, shit, the steak was so good. I didn't know what to do. But she, you know, she's just telling me like shit like that. Like we were just having conversations about like her job and like shit with her family and how like she's like the oldest and she takes care of them and whatever. And you know, like she stayed chill and we stayed talking. And at the end of the conversation, you know, I was like, hey, so you should come to Seattle and we should chill. And she's like, you know what? Let me give you my number.
Oh no.
So I ended up getting this stripper's number. Rhino, and we've conversed a little bit, but you know I think the game of getting a girl's number is fun. The part after that I think is a little bit more challenging in terms of you know what exactly you're looking
she's
to trying to do.
She's a stripper. I don't know if that second part's gonna be so challenging for you. I don't know, but real quick. Reason why I look so down upon it. I dated a stripper. This was probably this way before my wife, way before I got married, way before any of this that I have now.
I'm losing you there a little bit. I'm losing you.
You're losing me.
Sorry, no, you're better now. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, so no, I dated a stripper probably 2004, 2005. I can't remember. It's been so long. Excuse me. And she was fine as shit. I mean, she was nice looking and all that. She did the same shit to me, man. She sat on my lap and said, hey, yeah, my name is, and yeah, I'm trying to, she was the one to tell me, okay, I'm trying to get myself through college, you know, ECU or somewhere. But long story short, she gave me her number and stuff, and, you know, that night. And we stayed in touch. I saw her quite a few times. I would make trips to Richmond. I'm not going to lie. I think I was pressed at that time. I mean, I'll admit it. I was probably pressed on her. And then she broke my heart in the strip club. One night I saw her work in the strip club. And we were talking about moving in together. It got pretty crazy real quick. But she was a real, real relationship. But I just showed up to the strip club unannounced one night, didn't let her know I was coming, and this guy came in with her food and stuff, and I kind of went by myself. It was that night, it was Saturday, and I sat in the corner, kind of dessert. I was sitting in there trying to
figure out,
you know. Am I still breaking up?
A little bit. Yeah, like every like it's you've been breaking up this entire time, but it's getting worse. Maybe just I don't know if it's like try not talking so loud into the mic. Maybe that'll work out.
Well, the mic is pretty far away, but no. Anyway, so long story short, she was dating some other guy, and the same routine was going back and forth with him. And then I confronted her and him, and she kind of just played me off in front of him, and it was this whole thing in there. I had to walk out before I got thrown out. I mean, that's the end result of that. And I never saw or talked to her ever again. But, I mean, so I've been, basically, long story short, I've been where you've been. And just be careful, man. Don't get emotionally attached.
No, bro, she lives in Vegas. And I'm not about that. Like, I just think it was fun to have a conversation with her. She was cool people. She offered her number to me.
That's what they do.
It was a good time, and we've conversated, and, you know, I'll probably hit her up and say what's good or whatever. But I don't think, you know, first off, I mean, she's just not the type of person to have her life together yet, so I'm not about that. Although I would enjoy someone who made more money than I did, and I think stripping, she could make more money than I do, so that'd be a good look.
I'm sure she makes $2,000 or $3,000 a night.
So yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's pulling it. I mean, and at the end, I'll tell you this though. I just said, hey, I really enjoyed your time. And she's like, you don't want to lap dance. I was like, I had time. And I was like, no. I was like, we had such a good conversation. You know, at this point, I really don't want to like waste my time with a lap dance. And I was like, but I do. I know you're at work right now, and I took up your time. So you know, I slid her a $100 bill and I left.
I don't know. You got me on that one. Like I said, I think at the end of the day, it's a service. Like we agree, it's a service. It's something they do. If she turns out to be like a side piece, then that's fine. I think that'll probably be your best bet.
But that was my Vegas strip club visit. The next day was New Year's, and I hit up Dreas, or Dre's down in down on the Strip. And I saw Iggy Azalea perform live.
Yeah, what was that about? I saw the pics, some of the pics. I don't know anything about her or anything. I mean, I must be out of the loop, or maybe I'm too old. But I don't get it.
Iggy does the, she sings that Black Widow song, or she's like a rapper.
Okay. I mean, I've heard of her. I'm really just out of the loop on her.
Okay. Well, I would look up a picture of her, cause that's, if you like thick women, sir, that is the definition of a thick woman. So Iggy performed at Dre's. She did like 4 or 5 songs, a 30-minute set. It wasn't too long. You know, I got drunk, got to hang out with a couple chicks that night, and, you know, dance with a couple girls. And then, had a good time overall. You know, New Year's in Vegas, man, I'd say that it was one of the best New Year's I've ever had. You know, I'm sitting inside this club that has an open back to the Strip, you know, they got confetti dropping, you know, everybody's saying Happy New Year's, and then fireworks start going off in the background. You got fireworks going off at all these different buildings. It was overall it was a good time, you know what I mean? So it was overall just a good time. I think Vegas is something that I'll look at in terms of next year, maybe possibly doing New Year's there, or, you know, maybe just hanging out here in Seattle. But I think I started off 2015 off really good. I had a good time, hung out with some friends, and it was overall just a good look. I don't know.
How does Vegas do? Do they have like a ball dropping ceremony, or is it just like a stripper sliding down a pole ceremony? I mean, what do they do in Vegas as far as?
Well, every casino and every hotel has their own shit. You know what I mean? There's not one place everybody goes to, because it's a money grab, to be honest with you. I mean, the club I went to cost me $250, actually $300 with all the service fees. Cost me $300 to get into, and that's just the cost to enter.
You spent $300 to get into a club?
$300, open bar from 9 to 11, free food from 9 to 11, and then the Iggy Azalea concert, yep.
9 p.m. or 9 a.m.?
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., open bar and free food.
Well, you said you spent $300, right? I'm trying to calculate that in my head. So technically, it's like you paid for the concert, you paid some type of service fee to get in, and it sounds like you paid for like an automatic 10 drinks and maybe 2 meals or something. I mean, if I was to break down the finances of it, it's like you kind of paid for everything you got. So it's not like you – I don't think you lost out on it. But
no,
for somebody who maybe – yeah, but for somebody who didn't have as good or crazy of a time, they may have lost out big on it. That's a big cash cow there. I got to give them credit for good marketing. That's a good marketing
style. And that's one club. That's one club. Tables cost a couple grand. You know, tables are costing $4,000 to get a table in those types of places. I mean, that's just New Year's, man. And Vegas is a party city through and through, and I enjoy my time there. And you know, I'm getting a little old for that shit. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, I need to chill back and lay back, and I want to start hitting bars up more often, kind of doing that type of stuff. Overall, though, you know, good time. We got to do a little trip somewhere, man, and I got to show you a good time, and you know, we got to have a guy's trip. We got to leave the wife behind, and we got to go do a couple things, man.
Oh yeah, it's been a while since I mean, all the trips I've been on, I've loved. But as far as a guy's trip, it's been a very long time since I've done anything like that. Road trips are always good too, depending on where you go. But I think Vegas is the top. My brother went to Vegas. He told me about it. I'm pretty sure it's. I mean, they literally don't sleep in Vegas. You drink and you eat all the time. There's no curfew on alcohol out there. So I mean, you wake up drinking, you go to sleep drinking, and the liquor store never closes. So it sounds like a really good time out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So speaking of trips, you want to hear what I'm planning my next trip here in the next couple months. Do you want to guess where I'm going?
Well, first question, is it in or out of the United States?
Out of the United States. I'll give you five questions.
Oh, you're going to go out of the United States. All right, second question, and then I'll leave it at that. What's that?
I said, no, go ahead.
No, but I'm saying, if it's out of the United States, is it in a tropical area?
It can be considered a tropical area, yes. There are beaches there. I wouldn't say it's. I'll give you a second clue. It's not like the Caribbean tropical.
Huh. I mean, I could guess all day. You got to tell me. I don't know where.
The trip of note or of record is being planned to go to Thailand.
Whoa, Thailand! That makes me think of Street Fighter.
So we're looking at three different places. We're looking at Thailand, the Philippines, or Japan. It's kind of the
trip
to go
and
hit.
Who's going to accompany you on this trip?
My friend Kyle is going to accompany on my trip on our trip to Thailand. So we're gonna hit it up. And so you know, I've kind of got a thing that like I'm young and I don't know if I told you like I want to sell my car and I want to spend less money on material things and I kind of want to go on trips. I want to visit the world. I don't want to one day turn on and be 50 and be like, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. I didn't experience the world, because I think that's the things that are kind of most important to me. Thailand is on the list, man. I mean, Thailand, there's some great beaches there, but there is a very interesting, and as I've done my research over the past week, there is a very interesting subculture of vacationers there. Have you heard about what type of, you know, the type of vacations people take there to these places?
What type of vacations they take? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to explain it, because to me, I mean, a vacation is a vacation. You get away from work and stress in the country, out the country. You go to a beach. I mean, that's a win-win for me. But what else do people indulge in?
Well, Thailand is known for their sex vacations.
There's a few countries like that. I mean, a lot of things are legal, a little bit more legal or legal completely in different countries. And I've seen some. I haven't seen that, but I've seen how something's legal compared to over here. So that I'm sure that sold you on your trip.
I mean, I don't know if it sold me, because I've never paid for those types of services in my life. And I think we might have had this conversation a couple weeks ago that, you know, I've never kind of paid for those services or partook in a service like that. So I thought it was interesting that, you know, a lot of people do that. But I will tell you, it's fairly cheap. It's, you know, you're talking $20 to $30 for the whole night.
Yeah.
The question there is, I mean, what kind of life are they living? Like, what kind of life are the girls living where they're taking $20 or $30 for the whole night? I mean, for what I spend in dinner and what they're taking for a whole night.
Yeah, I mean that, but besides that, man, I mean, what are you contracting from them, you know? I mean, I would strap up three times, you know, but even then, I don't know. I would still be, like, wary about it, like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But, it's definitely known for it, but, I mean, that's not something that you are... that pushed you to do the vacation, but if you go over there, is that something that you would partake in?
I don't know. So if it's the thing is, if you know me when I get drunk, and so like, let me just state this before, because we're putting this on, I don't promote prostitution. I don't think it's the way to go, or, you know, like I'm not trying to say that what I'm about or like that. But for people that know me, if I get drunk enough and, you know, we're out and about, I'm like, you know, when in Rome, I could see myself maybe, but I would like, there'd be some nervousness about, just like you said, like, will you catch a disease? I just told you I could talk to strippers, because I just feel like when a stripper dance on me, it's kind of like demeaning to her in a way, even though she's there to make money or whatever. But I mean, even worse, like if a girl's there to have sex with me and it's $30, like, shit, what the fuck is going on in her life? And I'd be much more interested in that conversation than I would be in the actual act.
I don't know. With me, I mean, it would never be me, but if it was me, I would think about Taken. Like, just think about the first Taken movie. I mean, that does it to me. Like, no, I'm all out. You know,
yeah.
Think about, like, all, you know, how his daughter was sold to be prostituted. I mean, to me, it would be like, okay, that's what's going on. So when I hear a story like that, I'm thinking there's some major pimp walking around, and he's whoring these women to do these, you know, these horrible acts. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just that it's art imitating life or life imitating art. I don't know which way it goes, but that would be the way I would look at it.
And no, I mean, for sure. I mean, honestly, you know me, I want to go to the Philippines and just find me a wife, just in general. Like, I want to go to the Philippines and find me a wife. I want me an Asian woman. I'm half Filipino. I want me a Filipino wife to cook me my food and whatever, and I'll take care of it.
I'm part Asian. I don't know about... you know, whatever. I mean, I'm part a lot of things, but I can understand what you're saying. It's a great culture, and I think you're already part of the culture, really. I mean, look at how you eat and how you interact and the places you want to go. But I mean, you know, I think that you're still testing your waters over there. And then you can go over there and test the waters. So just don't drink your water.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to test the waters wherever I go. And you know, I think Thailand would be a good experience. And, you know, it's something to look forward to. And the thing about traveling in Asia is it just doesn't cost you as much as you thought it would. You know, like the flight's going to cost me about $900. Right. And then for the hotel room, I'm using points. You know, it's you're talking 40, 50 bucks a night for staying in a JW Marriott. Super nice hotel. I'm going to go hang out at the beaches and drink. And they said, you know, for a good meal there, you're going to spend $1 to $2 a day per meal. $1 to $2 per meal.
Yeah.
I don't know if it gets much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to the Caribbean, I've been there twice. We would do like the all inclusives, and those would run you about $1,200-$1,400, depending on where you go, and that includes the airfare. That's about a week out there, and everything's included, beer and food and everything. And with the food out there, just like no matter where I go, the food scene, you drink their beer, you get alcohol. Sometimes when I went to not when I went to Dominican, but when I went to Aruba, I felt like drinking fine playing whatever, but I drank so much, I was so hammered the whole time. It really didn't matter if it was watered down or not. It just means I'm going to drink more. And
right.
So it was worth it to me, and I would do it again. I wonder if a place like that would do an all-inclusive. You might make out even better if it's an all-inclusive deal.
Yeah, the only problem is I want to be able to kind of be able to go into this. Like, we want to be able to hit, like, four or five different cities. We're going to go and hit this city for one day. We're going to go to Bangkok for one day. Then hit up,
oh, God, stay away from Bangkok. Stay away from Bangkok. You make me think about taking again.
And then, you know, we're going to go hit up this place called Fuck It. It sounds terrible, I know. And then Bataan. And then, you know, we may hit up Japan. We're going to hit Bataan and a couple other places. But I don't – like, all-inclusive supply would be good. There probably might be some location over there. But I kind of want to – you know, I kind of want to experience the city for what it's worth and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for you. I think you'll enjoy it and, you know, get it out of your system now. Or not so much out of your system, but get to do different things now. That way, like you said, you don't regret them later. So I agree with you on that 100%.
I know, definitely a good time. So I don't know if you heard the news, not to turn to a very kind of sad subject, but I don't know if you heard the news today that Stuart Scott died or, you know, lost his battle to cancer today at age 49.
Yeah, I heard about it, and that was something I was going to bring up probably close to the end of the show, but he was a beloved figure. You know how SportsCenter is, or how it used to be so much. I don't watch a ton of SportsCenter now. I do watch it. I get my updates on my phone and all that. But I remember back in the day, man, before social networking, before all of that, when you had – that's all you had was the TV. So I would turn on SportsCenter and let it just run, and it would repeat. And you would have him on there with Chris Burnham. Excuse me, I think I butchered his name. But that was old school SportsCenter to me. And, you know, even when it repeated, it drove me nuts. He was one of the few sports casters on there that, I mean, they were all great, but he was one that didn't get annoying, if that makes sense. A lot of the guys on there, they try to, you know, do their little catchphrases, their little things, and it gets kind of, it turns into bad shtick very quickly. But I enjoyed his interviews. He interviewed some of the greats. I mean, LeBron James. He interviewed Tiger Woods. He interviewed a lot of people that were big figures in the sports land. And he gave a touching speech at the ESPYs this past year. And you know, the one thing about cancer is it's tough. I lost both my brother and my father to cancer. It is something that runs in our family, to be honest about it. And it's a bitch. It is. It's son of a bitch. And like everybody else, you know, you dread it, you hate it. And people, they battle, you know. For years and years, I wore the Lance Armstrong bracelet to tell that son of a bitch, even though he beat cancer, and I'll give him all his props for beating cancer, but that son of a bitch, I mean, that's a story for another podcast, but that son of a bitch came out and said that he cheated in the Tour de France. It's just like, F him, F you, you know, and that's just the way I feel, like, fuck him. But, you know, but as far as beating cancer goes for any athlete or anybody, not just an athlete, but any regular person, it's a big achievement. It's bigger than any award or anything you could ever get, any championship you could ever get. And the fact that he lost his life, he was battling his ass off. He was sick for, what, 2-3 years? Speaks highly of an individual.
2007, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he was a bigger guy. I mean, his normal build was pretty – he was an athlete. I mean, he worked out like, you know, just like an NFL back then. As he started getting sick, he hid it from everybody. And then
Well, it looks like we lost Beaches there. I'll wait for him to call back in. And see what exactly is going on. and see what the word is going on with that. But as we were just talking about, you know, you had Stuart Scott lose his battle today to cancer. And it was a sad moment. You know, I went back and I watched. I went back and I watched the showing at the ESPYs in his speech, and you know, it was touching to see him kind of talk about his. It was touching to hear him talk about his daughters and, you know, kind of that battle, and he was emotional, and he looked, you know, he looked a lot thinner. I think we got Bisha's back on here, but it was touching to hear, and I was just saying, Shiz, is that it was touching to re-listen to his SV speech and hear him talk about his battle and how, you know, you don't lose to cancer. You beat it by the way you live the way you live your life, and that kind of quote's going around today, and you're hearing a lot of people talk about it. And you know, cancer is a big deal. You know, my grandmother had breast cancer, and you know, she was able to fight it, but she eventually died at, you know, kind of old age, and a couple of things are going on with her. But it's interesting when you look at those types of things, and you know, you're concerned, and you sit there and you look at somebody who's 50 years old who's lost their life. You know, like my dad's turned 51. Last 2 months ago, and you know, you think about that, and you know, it makes you kind of, you know, it gets you kind of upset and gets you kind of teary eyed in the moment. Think about at any moment, you know, your family members can be taken away from you at a moment's notice, and you really got to appreciate your time with them. And it sounds like, you know, based on I didn't know those things about your brother and your father, but sounds like you can understand that more than anybody.
Yeah, and like I said, medical difficulties, but. We persevere on this podcast. We don't give a shit. But at the end of the day, you know, all I got to say about it, and a lot of people out there in the world can agree, is get to know your family and stuff now. Don't let anything like cancer or even a car accident or anything like that. Don't have regrets. You know, we should live in a world where you don't have regrets, where you're like, damn, I wish I was able to talk to so-and-so one last time. Treat every day when you deal with people that you care about, or do you deal with people in general? You should always be nice, I think, you know, and generous. But when you deal with people that you care about, you should treat every day like it's the last day you're going to see them. That way, you're in your mind, it's no regrets, and you live your life to the fullest with those people. And that's just the way I feel. That's something I didn't know very well growing up, and I didn't really take advantage of. I really didn't know my dad that well, to be honest with you. He tried to make it up at the end, and I got to know him a little bit before he died. But I mean, just all I got to say is treat every day like it's the last day that you're gonna see a person, because you just never know. I mean, there's so many ways to die now, and death is so dominant in news headlines and everything. You know, I mean, this guy's to go out and fight in Iraq, you know, God bless them. They come back here and get shot in the head. I've known people personally that have been in war and come back here to get killed. So, you know, you just never know. You want to do the best you can every day and not let that linger on your soul. But you know, cancer is one of the big ones these days as far as diseases. And you know, if you know somebody with cancer or somebody in your family has cancer, just go and love them every day, man, because you don't know when that moment's going to die out, or if it is going to die out. You just never know.
Yeah, for sure. Are we good? I'm sorry.
No, we're good. We're good. We got about 30 minutes left in the show. If anybody has any anything at all you want to say, holidays, or you want to talk about our loss today, or anything at all, cancer, whatever you want to talk about, good or bad, go on and give us a call in. 213-325-3434, if anybody cares, go on and call us in. This is kind of a welcome back show. We haven't been doing a podcast in a couple weeks, you know, and I've been taking a lot of meds, but I tell you, I got my ass kicked by this flu over here. Must be East Coast thing, but maybe a Midwest thing too, because you're sick. But you know, it's something else. But I, like I said, I drink my beer and I persevere. And speaking of that, Dallas Cowboys do play this afternoon. For anybody who's paying attention to football, Indy's up on Cincinnati right now. It's 13-7. So real quick, I want to get your thoughts on the playoff picture, transitioning a little bit, still sports related. But what is your thought on the playoff picture right now at the NFL?
None of my teams are in it. You know, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, and after the Redskins, I'm originally from the Bay Area. I'm from Sacramento, but kind of in the Bay Area. So I've been a 49ers fan for a little while, and so neither of my teams have kind of made it. And there's a couple teams that I despise of, and that I hope never win. And one of those being the Patriots and the Cowboys. So the worst Super Bowl for me would be the Patriots and Cowboys both make it. I doubt it. I think the Seahawks have a great chance of getting back in there and kind of make another run at it. I mean, they're looking good. Green Bay's looking also – they're just looking great as well. I mean, Green Bay's been looking great all year. I think Aaron Rodgers is playing some of the best football of his life. But I tell you what, if my heart played a role in it, and I don't know if he's going to make it this year, I think Peyton deserves another ring. I think Peyton's the best quarterback to ever played this game, better than any quarterback today. Period. He's just the best quarterback to ever play this game, and I think he deserves another ring. He's carried a lot of teams on his back, and he's got a pretty decent team today with him. He's been struggling this season, but I think, you know, this season may finally be it. I don't know how many more seasons he has left in him. So I'm looking at, I think today Indianapolis will beat Cincinnati. And, you know, we'll see what the lineup looks like. Who's the Cowboys playing on today?
Cowboys and Lions. We got Matt Stafford, so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of shit, you know, involved. I don't know. I think it's still two great teams. I mean, I'm not gonna bash the Lions or anything, but at the end of the day, I think it's two great teams. You know, they both made it there. They both deserve to be there. It's gonna be a hard game. It's not gonna be easy. But I'm hoping the Cowboys can pull it off. I would really love to see. Tony Romo do his thing this year. Peyton Manning does deserve another ring, in my opinion. I think he's probably the best quarterback I've seen, maybe even in this new generation of quarterbacks. But I think Tony Romo has proven to people he is worthy of that spot, and I would love to see him go further than just a playoff game so he can shake that off his shoulder, but at the same time, he could actually accomplish his accomplishments can come full circle with maybe at least a Super Bowl appearance. You know, I would love to see them go and win the Super Bowl, obviously, but, you know, if not that, then at least make the Super Bowl and have a Super Bowl game. I mean, I think the time is now.
I think anybody, the NFC has a hard task. The road to Super Bowl is through Green Bay and through Seattle, both in which they'll be at home. And I don't think that, the Cowboys, the Lions, and definitely not the the Panthers kind of have the ability to beat either one of those teams. It's a toss-up today. I think Stafford deserves some recognition. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But I think ultimately you're gonna see a Seahawks, Seahawks, Packers, NFC Championship game, and then you'll see something of the likes. Probably, I would say, I haven't looked at the standings, but maybe a Ravens, Indianapolis game. I don't know if Tom Brady's got it in him to do it in a Super Bowl, and I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. You got some teams that have been here before, and you got some teams that haven't been here in a while. It's going to be interesting to see who yesterday's game was pretty good. The Steelers game was. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it because I hate the Steelers, I guess. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I would love to get a team get there. Hasn't been there in a while or hasn't had it. If the Broncos win, I would have no beef with that because, I would want to see Peyton as well get what he deserves. Which is one more, and I think he's done, especially after they told him he never play again with his neck injury. I love stories like that where guys come out of nowhere and say, fuck you. Hell, buck the system if need be. And they show that they can go play anywhere. I mean, Peyton pretty much, I mean, he's still got a nice contract, but he'll play anywhere. He'll get a damn ring. And I want to, it's kind of like a storyline, and I want to see the epic conclusion of that. I want to see him, I would like to see that. But, I mean, if my Cowboys are in it, then that takes a back seat for me. Because I have to see, I have not seen the Cowboys go to a Super Bowl and or win a Super Bowl in my adult life, and I'd be damned if I'm going to sit around and not see that. And I know the day is coming. It feels like it's at my fingertips. So I'm just waiting for it at this point. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, but I'm not going to linger about that now because it's still early in the playoffs. But since we're talking about this, we got about 20 so minutes left in the show. I figured we end this on a note we've been itching to talk about for a long time, which is this Dallas Cowboys Redskins rivalry, and how is it you are what you are, and how is it I am what I am, and I'll go first. Basically, growing up where I grew up in Virginia. That's right, Virginia. And Virginia, you want to know what we have? We have Virginia Tech College, UVA, go Hoos, by the way, College. That's what we have, okay? Now, and that's basically it. I'm talking in terms of football or any sports. Virginia does not have a professional sports team. Now, I understand D.C. is right there at that line. I understand that you got the Nationals that were the Senators that weren't there for years. You have the Washington Redskins. You got the Caps there. You had the Wizards there. The Wizards were the Bullets, and then they thought the name was wrong, and they had to switch it to the damn Wizards, which I don't like the name. I like that the jerseys went back, but I fucking hate the name. A fucking wizard? DC and Wizards don't mix. There's nothing about DC that makes me think of a fucking wizard. So I hate that name. But going back to Cowboy, why am I a Dallas Cowboy? Growing up in my house was a football house, but nobody claimed the Redskins in my house growing up. It's not like, oh, my dad's a, like these days, oh, my daddy's a Redskins fan or my mommy's a Redskins fan. No, I didn't have all that in my house. It was like, and maybe my house was just a little bit different, but we watched football. Football was a religious thing. Wrestling and football were the two religious things growing up in my household, if sports related. If you did not have one, you had the other. So long story short, the Dallas Cowboys, they showed more Dallas Cowboy games growing up in this area for me than Redskins games. They got the popularity vote. Maybe that's true, but that was what it was in my house. Roger Staubach, that's who I watched. That is that great. That is who we watched in my house growing up. Dallas Cowboys, they were number one regardless of the status, period. They were America's team. That's what was on TV. Because back then you had the TV with the rabbit ears. You remember that, right, with the rabbit ears?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So long story short, what I'm trying to say is that it's that was all they really showed in this area at that time, believe it or not. You didn't see a lot of Washington Redskins. You didn't see a lot of it. And then from there, I looked at where I grew up. I grew up in the most central part of this state. And back then, it wasn't like it is now. It isn't all fancy. There was no metro rails and stuff like that until you got way up there around Arlington and everything. So you really didn't have all of that. So it was, and I didn't go to D.C. The only time I went to D.C. really when I was young was on field trips and stuff, and maybe once or twice with my dad riding around in a pickup truck. But it wasn't something that was preached or taught about or seen. So a lot of people picking their football teams was based upon the TV because you didn't have all the communication like you have today. And that's why that's why I am what I am. It isn't because of not winning. It's It just happened to me. That's the way I grew up. That's my fault. That's what I'm tuned to.
Yeah, I hear that, but I mean, ultimately, you know, you have Fox 5 DC, which is your local station, right? I mean, you weren't picking up any Richmond stations, and I, you know, my opinion on the matter is this: I'm a diehard Redskins fan. My dad's a Steelers fan; he's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My mom is obviously not from this country, but she's a 49ers fan because of that. And but I moved to Washington DC in 1999. From Germany. And I remember going over to my grandmother's house, and we cut on the game on Sundays, and we watched the Skins play. Brad Johnson was the quarterback. We had some shitty wide receivers. Daryl Green was still on the team for his last season, and North Turner was the head coach. And that's the first time I ever started watching the Washington Redskins, because I lived in D.C., and when you turn on Fox 5 D.C., they talk about the Redskins. You know, they played every game. I've always, you know, kind of had a soft spot in my heart for the 49ers, because being born in Sacramento, you know, kind of, you know, it's about an hour, 2 hours away from San Francisco. You know, that's kind of the teams that I watch, and, you know,
I'm still listening.
And even though, you know, so like I said, I'm a Redskins fan since 1999, and 1999 they won the division that year, but it's been painful ever since. But I think it makes it so much more worth it that I am gonna, you know, coach my team, you know, live my team. And I understand. I currently live in Seattle, and everybody says, "So when are you gonna become a Seahawks fan?" I go, "I'm not. I'm a Redskins fan through and through. That's who I can cheer for. I have no passion, no heart, no thought, no process for the Seahawks. They just won a Super Bowl. They can win a Super Bowl again this year." I will rather read 15 articles about the Redskins offseason than watch one playoff game today, because I'm a Redskins fan and they're not in the playoffs, and I just don't give a shit about it. So I care about the best story in the playoffs. But ultimately, you know, I want the Redskins to do something. And when they do something, you know, it'll be so worth it, because I sat there and I waited, and, you know, I'm not from D.C. and I'm not a Broncos fan. I'm not from D.C. and I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm not from D.C. and I'm not a Patriots fan or any other indiscriminate team in which people cheer for after they won a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that's who you are, but I will say this. If you think a lot of people are on my age and they grew up in the 90s, in which, you know, a lot of Super Bowls are won by the Cowboys went through some prime years in the 90s. We have a lot of bandwagon fans, you know, in terms of what the Patriots did, and, you know, the Steelers have always been good, and that's why those teams have, you know, the fan bases that they do. And yeah, we had our glory days, you know, the early 80s to the early 90s, you know, the Redskins won, but I wasn't number one alive for the majority of that, and number two wasn't really into football at that time. So yeah, I'm a diehard Redskins fan. I hate the Cowboys with a passion. I always have, and I always will. I'll begrudgingly be Bisha's friend here, as he's a Cowboys fan, living in the D.C. area. Although he says whatever was on TV was on TV, ultimately we know when you turned on the station, it was Fox 5 D.C., it was CBS right there on Wisconsin Avenue. In Northwest D.C., the stations were turning on, and, you know, they talked about the Redskins. And that's why I'm at, you know, diehard Redskins fan through and through.
I hear what you're saying, and I can kind of respect that. But it's just that, for me, it was – and you're right. There was Redskins coverage, but it's not like the Redskins dominated the area. You know, it's no more than hearing about the Seahawks and living in Northern Virginia these days. It's the same idea. I think back then, though, I mean, if you're talking about games, maybe you can call it hype if you want, but that was what it was. The Cowboys were like Hulk Hogan, and the Redskins were like Roddy Piper or something. It was just like the Cowboys – maybe they were talked up a lot more, and they were pushed into that limelight a lot more, as far as, hey, this is what you need to watch, this is what's on. It's just like any other manipulation on TV or anything that you see on the internet, where it's like, hey, watch this, do this, do that. But at my age, when you're a young kid, you know, of course you're going to feed into that. But I love Roger Staubach. A lot of the earlier guys, Tony Dorsett, I got a chance to meet Tony Dorsett back in 2009 up at a place you might know of, Velocity 5 up there in Fairfax. He's a really great guy. I just went off when I got a chance to meet him. It was a hell of an experience. But and I can respect that. But here's the second half to my argument that I wasn't able to make is with the Washington Redskins, their arena, their place to play football is in Maryland. They're representing D.C., and the training camp is in Ashburn, Virginia. Now, or in Richmond, Virginia for a couple summers. I don't even know if they still have that down there.
The training camp's in Richmond, but their training facilities are in Ashburn.
Yeah.
They're the actual season.
But Virginia doesn't have a team, but Virginia's claiming them, but they're all over the place. And basically, long story short on it, what I'm saying is that growing up, the instant gratification and the access are a lot easier these days. You can instantly say, see, tweet, touch something these days. Back then, you didn't have all that. You had to get in your pickup truck or get your daddy to take you in your pickup truck, whatever the case is, and drive somewhere, and that was your gratification if you got there and you got to see it. Now, point I'm trying to take is with the Washington Redskins, if you're in that Beltway area, if you live in Fairfax, if you live in Bethesda, if you live in Washington, D.C., whatever, and you have that, you know, you have that metro rail, if you're in that metro area, that metro city, as I like to call it, then that's different. I'm not going to knock you. So if you live in Fairfax and you're a diehard Redskins fan, I'm not going to knock you. But if you're from Roanoke, yeah, I'm talking to the Roanoke people right now. If you're from Roanoke or one of those little hick towns down there, down south, and you're screaming up and down, or if you're from North Carolina, because that's the thing I hate too. If you're from North Carolina and you're claiming the Redskins, fuck you. Because now you're not claiming them so much now, are you, with the Panthers in town? Because the Panthers didn't exist back then. But when the Panthers came, just like when the Ravens came, everybody split up. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people split up.
I think you're arguing to the contrary. I think that if it was much harder to get available content, then you, somebody who lived in the northern neck of Virginia, maybe not the northern Virginia, but the northern neck of, you know, the northern area of Virginia, should have been a Redskins fan because that's what was available to you from a content creation standpoint. I mean, the local newspaper for you was the Washington Post, right? I mean, you know, when you click to the metro sports section.
No, but it's not your fault, though. You don't understand. No, I'm from further than that. Let me put it to you this way. I'm a UVA University of Virginia. That is an area that I know well. So basically what I'm saying is that Virginia papers, all the stuff down here, it's a little bit more southern down here. A lot more southern. D is the flower guy from there.
I'm losing you.
What I'm telling you, D wasn't as included back then as it is now. Now it's more included because the metro system, because both Virginia, the Virginia governor, and Mayor D.C. and all of these, they see an opportunity for money. It's a lot more money-driven these days with these areas. So what I'm telling you is that basically now it's included, like in a mix. It's like a click now. Okay, yeah, they're our team. You know, George Allen or whoever, he's all, you know, the manager or the whatever, the guy who makes the shitty decisions for the Redskins. Anyway, he's in there. He's in the mix. He used to be the former governor of Virginia, and they're seeing a way to make Virginia better, but at the same time, boost morale with the Redskins. It's a DB deal now. I understand that. So I'm not going to diss anybody if they say, okay, I'm from Virginia, I'm a Redskins fan. I'm above that shit. But what I'm saying is that if you're old school like me, and you know what it was like before all this shit went down and everybody's got these little fucking mini malls and fucking highways everywhere, and you got all these motherfuckers that don't know anything about fucking Northern Virginia or D.C. that do, in Maryland. I swear to God, they don't. They never lived here. They fucking moved here for the fucking money, but they never knew anything about this fucking area. And they come here trying to take over shit, and they claim they're a fucking Redskins fan or they're a fucking anything fan. I mean, to me, that's backwards disrespect because you're not fucking from here. You don't know what it was like. If you come in here and you say you're a Steelers fan and you came from Pittsburgh and you moved down here, and I know a lot of those people, I know a lot of you live in this area, that's fine. But to come in here and to claim something and to try to take over something and think you know something, bullshit. Because at the end of the day, that's bullshit, and anybody who's lived here for a long time or grew up in this area and any of these little areas, they fucking know it, and they call it when they see it. So what I'm saying is that with the Dallas Cowboys, being a Cowboys fan, being a Steelers fan, Redskins fan, whatever, everybody has their backstory to it, and I can respect a good backstory. But if you scream to me you grew up, oh, I grew up in fucking Marion, Virginia, and I'm a fucking diehard Redskins fan, it's like, fuck you. You live close to Tennessee. Why the fuck aren't you a Titans fan? You know? I mean, it's just – it's almost like some type of fucked up tradition that people are just throwing upon their kids or something. I think at the end of the day, what you're closest to, whatever makes you close to that given team, is going to be what links you and makes you a fan of that team for life. I don't know. I mean, that's just the way I feel. I think it's not always location about where you live. It's maybe a backstory.
Yeah, I hear that, but I will always say that I think that if your teams tend to be teams that are very popular because of winning, and it's just, you know, I'm embarrassed. I always have to say that when people say, who's your basketball team? I say the Lakers, and I have to explain why I'm a Lakers fan. Because I don't want people to think I'm a bandwagon. I'm from California. You know, obviously there's the Golden State Warriors I could have cheered for being close to San, and then Sacramento Kings. But living in Germany, coming over, you know, I came back and I was a Lakers fan. That's who I always cheered for. Not because I hate the Wizards or whatever, but I think there's some, you know, and I know a couple, you know, when I look at that and I say, hey, you know, I can understand if you, hey, you live in Virginia and you decide to be a Ravens fan. Okay, all right. I can understand that to an extent.
But real quick, listen to the point, though. Most of the people that were Ravens fans or Ravens fans right now used to be fucking Redskins fans. They jumped.
But I mean, I think that's fine.
Something else to jump to.
I think that's. But let me say this, though. I was an Orioles fan before the Nationals came. Of course, when Washington, D.C. gets a baseball team, I'm going to become a fan of the Washington, D.C. baseball team and not be a fan of the Baltimore. You know, I was a wayward fan of the Orioles. I mean, I wasn't a diehard. You know, I knew Cal Ripken played for them, and I went to a couple games. I'm a much more passionate fan for the Nationals because, they're in my city. But if you had asked me pre-2005, hey, Jeremy, who's your team? I would have said, hey, Baltimore Orioles. You know, if I'm going to cheer for a team, it's going to be the Orioles. But as you know, the Montreal Expos came down from Montreal and became what is now the Washington Nationals. I'm playing in RFK. That became my team because that is DC. So if you're from Baltimore and you didn't have a football team, you decided to cheer for the Redskins. I can understand that. But when Baltimore got a football team, I can understand why you want to be, because they had a football team, number one. It got taken away and said.
But then it makes it nothing about the team and the accomplishments of the team and your, I don't want to say favoritism, but your favoritism toward that team. It becomes about what's the closest to you. It becomes a fucking Starbucks or McDonald's. It's something that's conveniently located to you instead of passion that has been created.
But a new team, it's a new team. So you're starting something new with everybody else. Nobody else has passion for that team yet because it's brand new. And so it's not like I'm saying, like, so it'd be different if I moved to Seattle and I became a Seahawks fan just because I moved here. It's kind of too late for me to do that because, hey, I'm already have ties in D.C. and whatever. And D.C. has every sports team known to man currently, so I don't really need to worry about that. In me, we have hockey, we got soccer, we've got baseball, we got basketball, we got football, we've got all that. But when I look at that, I'm not upset. I can't get upset about that because, like I said, I was an Orioles fan because there was no Washington, D.C. team. But when they became Washington, D.C. team, guess what? Every fan, we all started at the beginning. All of our fandom started at the very beginning. I wasn't jumping shit because some other team got better or because I just moved across the country. I became a team because my hometown, the town that I'm always going to say I'm from, got a baseball team, and I'm going to cheer for that team. If I were living in Baltimore, of course, you know, I think Maryland's very much a football state. Of course, they're going to cheer for the Redskins. Maybe they'll cheer for Philly, you know, whoever they cheer for. But I'm sure Philly and the Redskins lost fans when Baltimore got its team back. And I think that's justly so because – Ravens fan all began at the same time. They didn't jump ship because Ravens won Super Bowl. They jumped ship because their hometown got a Super Bowl, and I understand that.
All right, well, I guess we'll cut it short there today, but I still got a few more questions. But I'm sure more questions will arise, and we'll talk a little bit more about this down the road. And it is what it is. I know you're a Redskins fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. Go Cowboys. Redskins are sitting at fucking home where they fucking belong. And I don't disrespect the Ravens. I was happy for them. Good luck to the Ravens as well. Maybe we'll see them down the line here soon. But we're running low on time. Anything you want to plug real quick or anything going on with you or anything?
Not so much. I think we made it to a great point. And I think, you know, as I sat here just now, I think it may be time for us to look at how we can do these podcasts in a different way, and maybe that's not through Blog Talk. Maybe we need to start just uploading these things directly up to iTunes, and let's get a fan base going, and let's get some people listening. I think that we've got a product, we've got some sound issues wherever, we've got some broadcasting stuff going on, but I think if we can move
and we
to
have
where
a
we're just
Twitter
recording
page.
And uploading.
And we have a Twitter
have a
page.
Twitter page.
I didn't announce it. I made one just last night. If you got any feedback or you just want to talk shit or whatever, hopefully you don't want to talk shit, but I made one. It might have to do a couple of little adjustments with it, but it's twitter.com, obviously, / God Talk Decoded. It's very simple. All one word.
Yeah.
So
we got a Twitter page. We're going to get some more shows up. I am home for the next month, so I'm not going anywhere, and I don't have any plans to do anything. I'm going to start my workout, and I think I'll start documenting my workouts on this show to talk about what we're going to do. I've got to get in shape here and see what we can do.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to head back into the gym hopefully this week. So hopefully we can get some convos going on that. Maybe we can help each other out. But basically, long story short, Black Talk Radio, B-Shiz, Jay, hit us up on Twitter, Guy Talk Decoded. And we're going to look at other ways to entertain y'all, and hopefully, like I said, give you a podcast in different form. Hopefully upload it to iTunes. But as always, Jay, I think it's another great show. Now I'm going to sit back and enjoy what happens next with the Cowboys. That's my whole afternoon.
Enjoy. Thank you guys for another good week. And enjoy. Thank you, Chiz. I appreciate it.
God bless, and we'll catch y'all next week. Ciao, ciao.